Sunday we celebrate Christ the King. And if you remember, the gospel reading was Matthew 25, 31 through 46. The reading starts with words that bring us joy, or perhaps for some fear. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. It is very clear that Jesus' second coming will be very different from his first. He will return in glory, not obscurity. He will return as the King of the universe, not as a humble baby born in a backwater province of the Roman Empire. And this time, he will do the judging. This is what we celebrate during the season as Christmas approaches. Not shopping, or who saw whom kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. Certainly not what is going to be put into a stocking, or if asking for a hippopotamus will be effective. What we are supposed to be thinking about these next 4 weeks is the season known as Advent. Now, if you're wondering, wait, isn't this the Christmas season? The answer is no. Of course, we wouldn't know that from television, where Christmas movies have been featured since at least late October. It is interesting to note that many of them never even mention Jesus, who is the reason for the season. According to the church calendar, beginning this Sunday, the 3rd of December, through Christmas Eve, is the season of Advent. The word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, meaning come to. So Advent is the season where we anticipate the celebration of Jesus coming as a brother to live and die as one of us. To appreciate that gift, we put ourselves in the place of ancient Israel, which waited for the promised Messiah who would set things right according to Jewish eschatology. One way we can do this is through hymns, which is what we will do today. In spiritual disciplines, hymns are compared with prayer and meditation. We can meditate on the prophecy that told us about the Messiah, about the preparation for his birth, the joy of that birth, and the fulfillment of hope. Advent is not only a time of anticipating Christ's first coming, but also anticipating the next and final time Jesus comes to earth. His coming will be different from the first Noel. Jesus, who was born as a nobody in Bethlehem during the reign of Caesar Augustus, will return as the judge of the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. This makes Advent a time of reflection and a time of repentance. We can take the time to examine our lives and ask ourselves if we are sheep or goats. Are we living as Paul asked the Corinthians, for ourselves or for him who died for us and rose again? Unfortunately, modern society, sometimes inside as well as outside our churches, impairs a proper observance of Advent. We have to intentionally be countercultural about our observance, and we must teach our children what the days between Thanksgiving and Christmas are supposed to be about. While you might enjoy what the culture has to offer, do not let that deter you from embracing Advent for what it is supposed to be. And now, Ed will lead us in these Advent hymns.
Yeah, so we're going to take this opportunity. We've talked about this for a number of years, actually. So this turned into a good opportunity to apply, maybe do more of like a hymn sing sort of a worship service. And Advent's a particularly good time to do that because there's such a rich variety of Advent hymns. So Pastor Jack has selected three hymns that we're going to go over and sing. And we're going to look at them in a little bit more detail. Some of them may be familiar to you. Some of the tunes might be familiar, but maybe not the words. So the first one, if you can turn to hymn 239, Hark the Glad Sound. So this hymn was written by Philip Doddridge, who was born in London in 1702. He lost both of his parents when he was just 13 years old. And he grew up in the church and preparing these sorts of things. The tune is actually written by a gentleman named Thomas House, and he was born in 1734. Now this particular tune, Hark the Glad Sound, was actually written on December the 28th in 1735, And the original version had seven stanzas, and it was meant to be sung after Christmas. But we've kind of usurped this in terms of dropping some of the stanzas, and then the four stanzas that we have here really do exemplify this season of Advent, this season of preparation. In particular, I'm going to just read through the stanzas and listen to the words, and then we're going to actually sing it. Hark the glad sound, the Savior comes, the Savior promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice a song. He comes the prisoners to release in Satan's bondage held. The gates of brass before him burst, the iron fetters yield. He comes the broken heart to bind, the bondage comes the heart to bind, the bleeding soul to cure, and with the treasures of his grace to enrich the humble poor. Our glad hosannas, Prince of Peace, your welcome shall proclaim, and heaven's eternal arches ring with your beloved name. And in particular, that last stanza references heaven and our celestial home in the eternal arches ring. So I have the same problem when I'm playing the piano, trying to follow the verses and figuring out which we're playing the order. So that's why I sometimes mess up. But anyway, let's go through this. I think this one is familiar, but I'll play through the melody once, and then we'll sing all four stanzas. Is a more modern text. It's from the 20th century. It was written by a gentleman named Karl Dahl. He was born in 1944. He was an Anglican priest, and this hymn first appeared in the Methodist hymnal. And he also died rather young. He died in 1996, and in his last years, he was really quite disabled. He ended up dying of a brain tumor. It's based on the scripture, Luke 1, 68 to 69. So I'm going to just read that here. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now the tune, you may recall, this is an English folk tune, and the particular arrangement that we're using was arranged by the composer Ralph Vaughan Williams around the turn of the 20th century. So let's read through the words and listen to the words of "Blessed be the God of Israel." Blessed be the God of Israel, who comes to set us free and raises up new hope for us, a branch from David's tree. So have the prophets long declared that with a mighty arm God would turn back our enemies and all who wish us harm. With promised mercy will God still the covenant recall, the oath once sworn to Abraham, from foes to save us all, that we might worship with our fear and offer lives of praise in holiness and righteousness to serve God all our days. My child, as prophet of the Lord, you will prepare the way to tell God's people they are saved from sin's eternal sway. Then shall God's mercy from on high shine forth and never cease to drive away the gloom of death and lead us into peace. So let's listen to this tune, and then we will sing all three verses of Blessed Be the God of Israel. Shall come. Now, certainly the words, the title, sounds very much in line with what we talk about with respect to Advent. So, this was written by John Bromley. He was a Presbyterian pastor, born in 1859 and died in 1925, and it's based on the tune, which is a Kentucky harmony from 1816. And it starts, it's brilliant and bold, and there's some question as to whether Bromley completely was responsible for the lyrics, or whether these were based with roots from the Greek. But as we read through this, it begins with this familiar theme of preparation and our anticipation of the birth of Christ. In fact, the paradoxical picture that we paint for ourselves of this king to save the earth, to save the world, born in this lowly manger. But then, as it goes on, it really reaches well beyond Advent. And then it actually could be talking about, it could be the second coming of Christ or the transfiguration of Christ. So let's just read through these words and keep some of those pictures in mind. The king shall come when morning dawns and light triumphant breaks, when beauty gilds the eastern hills and life to joy awakes. Not as of old a little child to bear and fight and die, but crowned with glory like the sun that lights the morning sky. Oh, brighter than the rising morn when Christ victorious rose and left the lonesome place of death despite the rage of foes. Oh, brighter than that glorious morn shall dawn upon our race, the day when Christ in splendor comes and we shall see his face. The king shall come when morning dawns and light and beauty brings. Hail Christ the Lord, your servant pray. Come quickly, King of Kings. So we'll do the same thing. I'll play through this melody, and then we'll sing all five stanzas.